the Christian life is more than words. In this series of messages called More Than Words, listen in as Pastor Chris Chadwick opens the book of Romans and shows us vital disciplines in the Christian life.
The book of James has been super helpful and incredibly practical in all of our lives. And we're coming to a passage that I have been looking forward to more because it's one of my memory verses than maybe anything else. And I always enjoy preaching out of passages that I've memorized because it just helps to reinforce the memory part. But I believe it is incredibly beneficial as well. Now, James has explained two characteristics so far of mature Christians in James chapter 1, being patient in the middle of trouble or difficulty, and in James chapter 2, he practices the truth of that, and he helps us through these times of grave challenge and difficulty and trouble to mature. And in this section, he's going to talk to us about the power of the tongue. In other words, how your mouth can get you in trouble and how to stay out of trouble. How many of you have found that the most difficult thing in your life to discipline is your mouth? Like, I say more stupid things than anything else. Like, I say dumber things or more painful things or hurtful things than I even do painful, hurtful things in my life. Or, listen to me here, some of you don't say things you're supposed to say, which again comes back to the power of the tongue. Some people say, I don't say anything, so I'm more godly than you. No, you're just stubborn. And so James is writing here, and he is helping us. And so I don't know, we're probably not going to get through because I have a time that I have to be done. You say, you put a time? No, Debbie did. No, but I do have a time I have to be done. And so I don't know how much we'll get through this section. But I want us to understand first and foremost in James chapter 3, notice the first part of the verse. He says, my brethren, let's just read the passage together. We'll probably get through like verse 3 or 4. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole bodies. Behold also the ship, so they be so great, and driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth, or wherever the guy driving the ship wants it to go. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Our mouths get us in more trouble than anything else. And James starts off talking to believers, and remember, he's talking to believers everywhere, to the 12 tribes. He's talking specifically, James 1:1, to Jews who have been scattered abroad because of the dispersion, the persecution, the suffering that Christians went through in Jerusalem, and they've moved all over the world, and James is writing here, James the half-brother of Christ, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he is helping us and encouraging us specifically to them, but obviously through preservation and inspiration, he's helping us as believers as well, and he helps us with this truth, and he just jumps right into it, which is one of the reasons I think James is such a popular book, and he helps us with this truth. Number one, don't hurry to be a teacher or a preacher. Don't hurry to be a teacher or a preacher. My brethren, be, talking to believers, obviously, be not many masters. The word master means teacher or instructor or preacher. Don't hurry to become a teacher. Now, here's the reality. The preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God are the distinctive characteristics of a New Testament church. Let me say it again. It's the distinctive characteristic of a New Testament church. If all we did was come in, and though we might do this 4 or 5 times a year, but all we did was come in and fellowship and sing, we came together, but it wasn't really church. Paul exhorts Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they teach, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preach the word, we're told. Preach other things in Titus chapter 2. Preach the other things which become sound doctrine. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there is a biblical requirement for the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. It's a requirement. But sometimes, folks think it would be really cool to be up there and be the teacher preacher. Be really great if I could be the one up there talking. Matter of fact, I'm thinking of a couple guys that are used to be in our church many years ago. They're not in our church anymore. I don't even think they're in church anymore. They came to me and they said, hey, I think I could do that. I could preach. Okay, good. One guy said to me this exact thing. He goes, I've got a lot of things I'd like to say. Well, it's not a talk show and you're not Rush Limbaugh, but okay, you got a lot of things you'd like to say. I had another guy come to me and say, I wish you'd give me more opportunities to get up there. Well, go over with me real quick, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy, just to the left a little bit in your Bible, depending on how big the pages and words are. First Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, when the Bible uses the word bishop here, he's talking about a pastor. It's a word that is often used for pastor, administrative, a big oversight pastor. And he says in verse number 1, this is a true thing. If a man desires the office of a bishop, just understand we would say pastor, he desireth a good work. It's a good work to be a pastor. It's not a bad work. It's a good work. Now, just so you understand, the life expectancy in the first century church for most pastors was about 18 months. So there you go. I mean, this was not the career field for those who love safety. This is a career field for the called. And then Paul says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. But then notice this phrase, apt to teach. Apt to teach. There are so many amazing preacher, pastor, teachers in the world today that it's humbling to even be considered in the same, if you will, fraternity as them. Understand that this is a calling of God, not something I want to hurry to get into. Why? Well, go back to James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters. Literally, don't hurry to become a teacher. Don't hurry to become. We want you to be, he's talking about what we would say, what we would use the term in our modern day vernacular, we would use the term senior pastor or even preacher or teacher. I'll make some more application in just a minute. But don't hurry to become that. Why not? Knowing or having this understanding, we have this understanding that we shall receive the greater, that's the Greek word megas, where we get our word mega, or it means larger or bigger. We will receive the greater, the bigger condemnation or punishment, or totally exact definition, punishment with consequences. Don't hurry to become a preacher teacher. Why not? Because you're going to receive a bigger consequence, condemnation, punishment. Well, I thought we wanted everybody to be a preacher teacher. No, we want everybody to be open to be a preacher, pastor, teacher. We want people to avail themselves of that. But don't assume that this is just here's what James is saying, just a fun thing to do to stand up and talk to people. Well, why would we receive a greater condemnation? Well, we're going to face stricter judgment because our words are to carry a greater authority. And to stand up and declare the word, or what we say is the word, is indeed to declare a greater authority. Because the word is authoritative. That's where the authority comes. The authority to say what we need to say. Now, we could talk all day long if you want to talk about like strategies of the boxing one defense in basketball, or you want to talk strategies about the wishbone offense in football, or you want to talk strategy about what sunflower seeds you should eat in baseball, because I don't know anything about baseball. You want to talk about that? You can talk about that all day long. You could argue about that all day long. That's just your opinion. Even to a point, you want to talk about politics. That could be opinion-based most of the time. But when you open up the Word of God, it is a thus saith the Lord moment. And the tongue of the teacher causes the teacher to face a stricter judgment. Which is one of the reasons that we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to work diligently and study diligently to make sure that we're, that's why it's not a happenstance, let me just stand up and say something. I've been put in that position many times in my life, but I'll tell you, I've never been really fond of that position of showing up at church and people go, why don't you just come up and preach for us? And I always come up with a good excuse because I'm deconstructing my faith right now. I'm kidding, because I used to back in the day when we wore suits and ties to church every week. Whenever I would go on vacation, I would always just wear a polo, but now nobody cares. So now I show up to church in a tank top, and it says, go Dodgers. So you know no Jesus-loving person's asking me up there. And now I'm teasing about that. I don't show up to church in a tank top. Please don't do that. I could not keep from mockery if you did that. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, full of deadly poison. The tongue can no man tame. It is just, it's destructive. So it was easier back then. We're called to be students of the word. Let me stop and give a little bit of application to the exegesis. Some of y'all like to give counsel, and you give your counsel as though you're authoritative. But it's really just kind of your opinion or something you heard someone say. No wise believer is engaging, even in giving counsel, haphazardly. We're going to know the word deeply. The good counselors are about 3/4 of the time going, unless it's super clear. Most of the time, it's clear. Most of the time, it's clear. I'm just telling you, about 90% of the issues, after you've been doing it this long, it's pretty clear. But I can remember being a young man in ministry working for my dad in Amarillo, Texas, going, why won't that man let me counsel people? And the older I got, I'm like, I can see why he didn't let me. I didn't know what I was talking about. And when you counsel and you give unbiblical counsel, you're going to face a greater condemnation. No, did you hear me? You're going to receive a greater condemnation. And some of y'all, I guess I've been like the old codger today, but some of you that are young, when people come to you with questions, you just need to be quiet. You just need to hold your tongue. Because in truth and in love, you don't know enough about the scripture to give counsel. You don't know enough about the scripture to understand the totality of scripture. I'm glad you listened to a message. I'm glad you heard something. But there could be way more to that. And my brethren, don't hurry to do that, knowing we'll receive the greater condemnation. Now, I got to be clear. He is specifically talking about the position I am in at this very moment of preaching and teaching in the congregation. But an application. So I'm not trying to interpret this about giving counsel, but I am trying to apply it because we do face judgment for every idle word, especially those words that we imply are authoritative. And if it's non-authoritative, we should pull back and go, now let me just tell you right now, this is just my opinion. It doesn't matter at all. Why is that? Because my opinion really doesn't matter that much. Hopefully, my opinion matters to my wife, Judith and Natalie. Hopefully. But as history would show, it doesn't very often. That's just Dad's opinion. We can argue about opinions, but the Word of God is clear. And so we have to be incredibly careful. And incredibly knowledgeable of the word, which is one of the things that I'm burdened about for our church family, that we often don't know the word well enough to share the word with people who really need to hear the word. Which is why we should spend our time every day, however much time is needed, to work on memorizing scripture, to work on reading deeply about the things of God, to work on listening to sermons. This last week, a couple pastor friends recommended that I listen to a couple sermons, and I had downtime while driving. I had a lot of downtime this week that I wasn't planning on due to my tire blowing up in my car and then my spare tire blowing up in my car. I got to sit on the side of the road right by Ironwood for a good 2.5 hours. I had a good experience. It was fun. And I got to sit in a tow truck, and that was fun, and ride in a tow truck, and that was fun, and got to hear the tow truck driver argue with his mother in Spanish. That was fun. Let me just tell you, you know sometimes when people are arguing even in a different language. You can know love in any language, but you can know when it's going on in the fat family as well. That's pretty cool. I don't speak Spanish, but I could tell, like, ooh, that's a warm one right over there. Like, brother, you all right? Like, I don't want to get in your business, but I do want to get to Discount Tire, so let's make sure we make it there. I the opportunity to do that. I'm just trying to convey in a passionate way that we need to be a people who are very reserved in our words and very determined in the memorization of Scripture, in the learning of the Word of God, in the theological, and how about if I say it this way, a basic Bible doctrine understanding of Christian theology. Well, why is that? Because it matters. Brother Burns did a great job this afternoon. I've heard it was a great job. I don't know, but I heard he did a great job. So I'll take it at the testimony of people who normally complain. Now, I'm teasing, that he did a great job explaining why we at Canyon Ridge do not sing Bethel and Hillsong and those type songs to our people that work in frontline singers here at Canyon Ridge. You say, well, yeah, why don't we sing those? I'll tell you why we don't, because they sing to a different Jesus. They worship a different Jesus. And we have theological problems. We don't have anything personal. Don't even know those folks. Don't even know them. But we have theological problems. And here's the deal. If I allow that at Canyon Ridge Baptist Church, just understand I answer to God for singing to a Jesus that is different than the Jesus of the Bible. And so I have to be very careful. You say, well, I think that's just being really rigid. It is. Yeah, I've got 66 books that have to determine, have to inform every decision that we have to make. That's why James says, don't hurry to be a pastor. The young men, listen to me. I love your passion. But I would submit to you, I don't always appreciate your wisdom because it's not very deep yet. And if you're not careful, listen to me, take the pastoral guidance. If you're not careful, you're going to say things and speak things that you will find yourself defending for the rest of your life, even when you know they're not right, because you don't want to pull off the fact that you were wrong when you were young. So, Pastor, what do I need to do? You need to be quiet as a young man. Don't hurry to be a pastor teacher. I can remember sitting with my dad. Everybody here knows Sam Davis. Maybe not everybody, but one of my mentors is Sam Davis. And I remember the first time I shared a meal with Brother Sam. We were in Amarillo, Texas. He was preaching for my dad. We went to the Black Eyed Pea restaurant, Bern. You remember the Black Eyed Pea restaurant there? Didn't you and Leslie like have your first Texas date at the Black Eyed Pea restaurant? Wasn't that? They actually had, Bernie, good chicken fried steak. Bernie loves chicken fried steak, but he's an idiot when it comes to chicken fried steak because he'll order it at Denny's. And Josh likes it. What's wrong with that? Everything in the world. And you shouldn't talk from church. Women are to be silent. Shut up. No, I'm teasing. I'm just teasing. But Denny's chicken fried steak, what's wrong with that? What goes in and what must come out? That's what's wrong with Denny's food. And Bern loves that, but he absolutely adores chicken fried steak. And man, Black Eyed Pea they're not in existence anymore, had a great chicken fried steak restaurant, chicken fried steak. It was so good. And I'm sitting there, and I got a chicken fried steak, and I don't know, remember what Brother Sam and my dad got. I should remember what I'm eating. And I just had the privilege of sitting there and listening to these two. My dad was the age I am now back then. And just listening to these two men of God just go back and forth. And about an hour and a half or 2 hours in, Brother Sam goes, you've sat there this whole time. How come you haven't said anything? And I really didn't have an answer. And I just looked at him and I just said, I was trained to be quiet. And from that day forward, Brother Sam became the closest mentor in my life outside of my own father. Don't be in a hurry. Your day will come. Don't be in a hurry. My brethren, be not many masters. Why? We'll receive the greater condemnation. So he's saying with clarity, men, make sure that you are diligent. And the idea here, we have to teach the word. We have to preach the word. He's going to go into all of this. But make sure that you know what you're talking about. Why is that? Well, look at verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. If any offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Number 2, the tongue is incredibly hard to control. Why do we need to be not many masters? Because the tongue, I get myself in so much trouble with the words that I say. I had to apologize to Miss Linda this evening before I could preach because I felt I was intemperate in the preaching this morning. She goes, oh, I knew your heart, Pastor. I know you weren't trying to offend me. I know you were trying to say something else. And true statement, that is a true statement. But my words still came across as offensive. The tongue is incredibly hard to control. That's why he says, in many things we offend all. If any offend not in word, with the words that come out of his mouth, the same as a perfect. That word perfect means finished or reached the end or complete or full or wanting nothing. Or we would say has risen to the level of absolute maturity. Even so, the tongue is a little member. And if you don't offend in word, you become a perfect man. And able to bridle the whole body. Now again, someone could misunderstand this or abuse this text and say, well, then I'll say nothing ever. Well, then nothing ever gets said. You can't proclaim the gospel. You can't preach the word. He's talking to pastors and teachers now. You can't proclaim the gospel. You can't preach the word. You can't teach the word if you don't use words. And so, we take our bodies, and then he parallels or illustrates the struggle that we have. We put bits in horses' mouths. Why? That they would obey us. We take this giant horse. He weighs whatever. I don't know how much horses weigh. I haven't picked one up lately. But they're huge, and they're muscular, and they're strong. And this very small little bit, we put it in their mouth, and we pull. And when we pull, it turns about their whole body. Just this very little thing. Or we take this gigantic ship, huge in Paul's day. It would be small for us, but in Paul's day, it would be a very big wooden ship, a sailing ship, obviously. And the ship is sailing through whatever body of water he's thinking of. And he went on a few through the book of Acts. And you're studying. And yet with this very small helm, maybe 2 foot by 2 foot or 18 inches by 36 inches, it'd be differing in size. But in comparison to the rest of the ship, it's very, very small. And with this very small helm, it'll go whithersoever the governor listeth. Or if you've got a team of guys rowing the boat with just this very small helm, it'll go wherever, just this little movement. And this is what he says about the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member. It's so small and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is incredibly hard to control. Let me give you the last point in verses 5 to 10. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Verse number 6, so is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. The tongue has the power to destroy. Sticks and stones, they'll break my bones. Words will never hurt me. Greatest lie in the history of mankind. The most difficult times in my life have been the words that people said. Truth be told, I don't even think they meant to say them, but they were, because of pride, unwilling to apologize. The tongue has the power to destroy. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a, verse 7 to 12, a relentless evil. The tongue can no man tame. You cannot win the victory of the tongue in your flesh. You can't just go, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. No, it's unruly. It's full of deadly poison. Here's how powerful the tongue is, that you'll bless God at church on Sunday and then you'll go to work and curse people on Monday. You'll say, praise the Lord on Sunday, and you'll use other adjectives on Monday. We'll praise the Lord on Sunday, And if we don't like the political party or the political leader, and this is very real with Christians and democratic leadership, which we take a strong stand against it for no other reason than how they view children and how they view the unborn, we disagree with them on basically every issue related to morality, for sure. And yet the Bible commands us to pray for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, but we will curse them. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which, Ephesians says, 4:29, let no corruption proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6 says, let your speech be always with grace seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. The tongue. Don't run to be a pastor teacher. Understand that your tongue is incredibly hard to control, and you need some maturity in your life and understanding in your life, and understand that the tongue has the power to destroy. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the dark side of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the good side of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Taming the tongue. You could talk for days about this difficult and challenging truth. It's an unruly evil. And through this whole time, he's talking about spiritual leadership. What you teach can bring so much devastation. What you preach can cause a world of iniquity. You better know what you're saying, preacher. You better know what you're saying, friend who's taking on the role of counselor. You better know, youth volunteer, what you're communicating. You better know. Well, I just want everybody to have fun. It's not going to be fun at the judgment seat if what you're saying is not true. For them or you, either one. Everybody is hurt when the tongue doesn't do what the tongue is supposed to do. And so James admonishes and encourages us to control our tongues and to do so by the grace of God, that we would be a people who love God and help one another in our walks with God.
Thank you for listening. Hear more messages anytime at CanyonRidgeBaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, please join us for a service. We meet on Sundays at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 o'clock p.m. We look forward to seeing you.